Welcome to Drone It Group Drone Business Chats. We talk about the ups and downs of being in the drone industry with Lee Castledine and Andy P.
Good morning, Andy. Good morning, listeners. Good morning, viewers out there.
Everyone out there, hopefully, in the drone world, in the business world, in the world in general.
Have you noticed something a little bit different this morning?
Me? You?
We're a bit clearer.
We sound clearer.
A bit better.
We do sound better. Look, you know, there's only so much crusty DIY stuff I'm going to put up with before I say, let's start to up our game a bit.
I guess Slowly but surely, we're upping our game. We've got headphones,
slow burn.
Microphone. The audio should be a bit clearer, guys. So, we'll improve this week by week. Any suggestions also, welcome. How's your coffee?
Mate, the coffee is excellent. As always, from the shop over the road there, Sideswipe. It's good. It's good. Got it going. Croissant. And now, we're ready. Let's have a look at the week ahead for us here at Drone It.
Yeah, sure. It's been a bit of a crazy week here with the weather. Weather's played havoc. We've had to reschedule a fair few jobs and put on the back burner because we've got the Gold Coast Commonwealth Games coming up. Soon, so a fair few jobs have been put on hold because of that down the Gold Coast.
There'll be a lot of drone jobs on hold from other people, I would assume.
Absolutely.
Anyone that knows, we'll get into that at another time, but yeah, the Gold Coast is basically military lockdown for its airspace during during the games.
Yeah, but we've been pretty busy. We've got a contract with a website which makes your life pretty busy, getting out there shooting, you know, a few golf courses every week.
Finally, the rain has stopped and we can get out on the fairways and get some work done.
Yeah, and any work that when we're not flying, we're back in the office. Obviously, you're editing and working on our digital side of the business as well. So that's always busy. It is a hungry beast, the old digital world.
It's a hungry beast. It grows.
And we'll talk about
wrestles
that.
Wrestles with you.
It plays havoc with you, mate.
It knows jiu-jitsu.
I'll tell you what, I don't know how you do it because it does my head in sometimes, but it's a valuable and important part of the business. That's another topic we can discuss down the track.
Definitely.
The digital world.
The digital beast.
Oh, it's a hungry world. So, mate, what it's in the drone world?
Mate, what I found out, which is interesting, and you know, I think with the drone world, it's kind of cool for Australia. There's stuff that happens maybe in China and the US, and then we can see that sort of move over to Australia. In particular, at the moment, a story that I'm following, Lee, is beyond visual line of sight. Now that's obviously a big thing in the drone industry. When I say that, it's going to be once that's taken on by other people, the regulation and that sort of loosened up with it, or made easier to maneuver through for anyone wanting to get BVLOS. It'll definitely open up drone industry, so I think, in Australia, particularly with our size and distances involved.
Yeah, so one of the key things in getting your certificate is one of the basic rules is you need to need the drone to remain in visual line of sight, or VLOS as they call it in the drone world. And then there's another acronym called BVLOS, which is beyond visual line of sight. So if you want a certificate in that, that basically means that you can fly, depending on how good your eyes are, that you can fly the drone a lot further away than you can actually physically see it. You need to go and apply for that instrument rating through CASA. Correct. Which is quite lengthy. They make you go through the ringer because obviously, there's a fair few more procedures involved. So that's an interesting.
And no one's really done it. It's still very fledgling in Australia, but very imperative, in particular for our agricultural applications with drones. It will be pretty necessary and large scale infrastructure.
Yeah, you probably don't need it flying around the city, do you? But I think huge need for it in agriculture. Huge. Out in the country. You know, the drone flying, you know, up to sort of 5 kilometres away, the ability to sort of, you know, look at fences, stock, you know, livestock, all those sort of bits and pieces, bringing the drone back safely. It's all done basically on the instruments and not through sort of physically seeing the drone and bringing it back. So, what's happened over in the States?
Well, the America's like, yeah, look, we want BVLOS to take hold, obviously.
Yep.
There's a lot more stakes in it with stuff like Amazon and Google doing deliveries.
Yes.
But the thing is, they go, look, you can have BVLOS, but what we want to do is make sure, basically they want to put it like an ID tracker on any drone registered to do BVLOS. So at any given time, using DJI Aeroscope technology, which is something I'll touch on in a moment, basically it says, yeah, this is where the drones are. Using that off the back of that technology, they'll know if there's a drone up in the air within 3 kilometers of them. So I imagine something like this would be used for places like that are no-fly or restricted, like airports, sporting events and stuff like that. You'd have someone sitting there with the Aeroscope and they'd be like, oh yeah, there's a few drones up. There's Red Leader and Gold Leader are up.
You can
in the drones, you know, staying on target. They're cool. We know those ones. But who's this bogey, this bandit drone that's coming in? So that's what it is. They're like, oh, hold on, that drone shouldn't be there. Oh, and look, and because we know who it is because they've got their ID on it. It's John Citizen.
Righto.
So that's what the Americans, the USA, want to introduce, the FAA. So, and in saying that, they've got 770,000 registered drones. Well, people registered their drones in 2017.
Probably double that, the amount of unregistered as well, I reckon.
Yeah, exactly right. And just to, I guess, you know, in Australia, we've at this stage, we've got about 50,000. I wouldn't say they're registered, but they're saying, well, there's 50,000 drones out there at the moment that have been kind of sold and distributed in the Australian market. So there's a lot there it'll be good to see if the Yanks can sort of pull it off, then I guess that's something
we might follow.
CASA would be watching it.
I think closely. That also, when it comes to delivery of, you know, we've all seen it, Amazon, you know, even pizza delivery on drones and stuff like that. You know, if you're ever going to get down that path, BVLOS they have to lighten the regulations on that, because the ability to fly parcels, you know, from one place to the next, for it to have any use, you need BVLOS, because otherwise you could walk the package yourself to the actual destination. So I think that's an important rule. If CASA do lighten those rules, that might open up the door to a few more drones delivering a few packaged goods.
Yeah, and when we mean lighten up the rules, we don't just mean any cowboy can come in and just start throwing the drones. It's sort of like everyone sort of meets in the middle.
Yeah.
So CASA go, oh, well, we have to let go of a bit of this, but you guys also have to tighten up in this area.
Yep.
I think much like the USA are saying, yeah,
BVLOS.
But you're going to be chipped.
Yeah, it's all give and take.
I personally think that's a good idea.
Well, especially these days, you know, the technology, you know, 2 years ago you probably wouldn't introduce it, but DJI have improved their systems. You know, a lot of the times you didn't hear it from me, but you are looking at the screen and sort of not so much the drone, especially in these open areas. So it's just an extension of that, I believe. If you've got your systems in place and your procedures and you know what you're doing, the fact that you don't have to see the drone physically, I don't think is too much of an issue.
Not for industry. Not for big-time industry, agriculture and infrastructure.
Oh,
that stuff has to move ahead.
If you're Jimmy and you just open up a drone, I would not recommend trying BVLOS.
No, there'll be a loss.
there'll
be a loss, and it'll be your drone.
And maybe some money as well.
Other things.
Another subject we wanted to touch on today, getting to the business world of drones, is scope creep. Probably a lot of people have heard it out in the industry, especially in building and construction, but something that has sort of reared its ugly head in our business, Andy.
Definitely.
Hasn't it recently? And I think I think it's important thing to talk about because if you don't define your scope with regards to your work, then it can have huge implications with your time, which in essence is money with regards to doing extra work. And we've sort of, it's happened a few times with our business, with a couple of jobs, small and bigger ones, in which we really need to, we've really had to tighten and define our scope to the point where we know exactly what we're doing when we turn up to our job. Any experiences recently? Don't name names with clients, Andy, but we won't be doing that.
Look, it's you know, particularly you get a client to sign off on something and it's cool, you've put the scope down there, but then all of a sudden they'll send an email saying, oh, here's a list of things we require you to do, and you're just sort of like, oh, well, hold on, that's not what was signed off on. And then And they'll try and be like, look, there it is, thanks, see you later, okay, bye. And then they'll go off, do you know what I mean? It's just like they'll hand you, not literally hand you paper, but the email's basically like, okay, that's what you got to do, see ya. And then they'll go off and you're sort of like, well, hold on, that's not what we agreed on. All of a sudden, I've got to be here, I've got to be there. And so what you've already planned for your gig, it gets blown out. So you're on the back foot and it's terrible because what's going to happen is the gig's going to suffer.
Yeah, well, exactly, because two things will happen. You'll either try and fit it in to your original time frame, in which your work will suffer because you're sort of diluting the time in which you're spending doing either the shot or at location, or two, you'll be spending more time at those locations, which means you could blow out from a half day to a full day, work in an area in which you've agreed upon, for example, a half day that ends up being sort of, instead of 4 hours, and ends up being 5 and 6 hours. So I think it's a bit of an education for the client in which what is actually needed and required to actually fly a drone. And a lot of people are under the assumption that Andy will just rock up, put a drone in the sky, take a photo, and that's all it is, mate. You just rock up.
It's remote control. It's easy.
Just fly it, take a photo. Yeah. It's not that hard. It'll take 15 minutes. I don't know why you're charging me half a day's work for that. So I think that part of what we've built into our system is through James, who's our IT man and our business development man, is a real clean sort of and proper project management tool where we have to define the scope. We get it crystal clear as to what is required from the client, and then we get them to sign off on that. Now, of course, there's going to be a little bit to and froing with regards to can you sneak in this and that, but it gets to the point where if something is way outside of the scope and takes extra time from either yourself or ourselves or increases dilutes the type of work that we're doing, then no one's going to win, really.
Do you identify it? How does Joe Blow identify someone that's scope creeping on them?
Well, I think you got to ask, this is probably all in the preparation, because if you don't prepare with your scope early, and that requires more work.
You got to start strong.
You have to define the parameters and where you're flying, what you're doing. That all takes time, and sometimes single business owners, or if you're doing this on the side as a part-time job, that takes time and effort. Yeah. And then, but where you will win in the back end is the fact that you don't have to do extra work, extra half day or extra full day that wasn't sort of clearly defined in the early piece. So it's all about that preparing really early, and then knowing and also having the balls to go, hang on a sec, guys, this is what's defined on. I'm happy to do this. However, just to let you know, it's going to take an extra half day or an extra 2 or 3 hours. Are you prepared to pay for that? And if they go, yes, great, you've got more work. If not, you default back to the original scope.
Start strong, be diligent from the start, and it's unfortunate, and it's something some people have to learn, is you have to be strong, because sometimes it's going to be a bit confronting to say, look, no, that's can't do that, mate. You know what I mean? It is okay to say no, like it's confronting, but you have to be pleasant, but be firm, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Firm and fair.
So, you know, it's an important lesson learned, and we want to sort of, I suppose, pass that experience on to you know, other people, especially when you're starting out, because you're starting out, you do anything to please your clients, and you still want to do that. But however, yeah. Sometimes, and it all comes down to asking the right questions. If you ask the right questions early.
Be on the same page.
Yeah, and sometimes the client doesn't actually know.
Sometimes they're too ambitious. Sometimes
ambitious. Like, some of the requests we've come through.
Can we fly this the like blowing up cars and that through the sky? Can we lift up stuff with the drones? Mm. Can we do this? It's like, nah, man, we can't do
that. I had a client that wanted to take a 20-meter flag all the way down the middle of the Brisbane mall to advertise. In the mall. I said, well,
wow.
The high street.
Yeah.
So, look, you will get some ambitious people because they get excited. But at the end of the day, also, you're educating them as much as...
That's right.
You know, because
our job is to help.
They want a drone. They want sort of some aerial footage. But sometimes they don't know what the best shots are as well. Mm. And that's where you come in and say, hey, this is what's worked in the past. Just to let them know also, if you're going from location to location in the single shoot, that this is the time it takes to demob and mob up with regards to your drone. You can't just pack it up. It takes time. So a lot of this stuff is, and that's what I'm talking about, going back to preparation is absolutely key, and talking to the client and asking more questions, because sometimes they haven't thought about some of the answers.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes you got to work backwards almost.
Yep.
On some of these gigs. Because then,
great point.
You'll then all of a sudden it'll be clear to you that there's going to be an issue.
What's the end result?
Yeah.
What do you actually want out of this? Is it a edited video?
What's the end result?
Is
exactly.
It raw pictures? Like 5 to 10 pictures? Is that all it is? Do you want, a full production? Do you want? What do you actually want? What's the end result? And what are you using it for? Is it internal photos to show around clients? Is it used on social media? Is it, you know, what is the footage used for? And then you can work your way backwards and hopefully you can get a better defined scope. And at the end of the day, you won't overquote or underquote either. So that's a very good point, Andy. Work backwards.
Yeah, that's definitely another part. And then, okay, I did say you got to learn to say no, but then you put into your scope too. Maybe you're two or three gigs down the track, you're feeling like a bit of a veteran, and you go, all right, there'll be revisions. You can put revisions into your contract and say that we're able to be flexible up to this point.
Yep.
Do you know what I mean? That's something that come down the line.
Variation.
You've got to put a ceiling on how far the client can go.
Because
sometimes it's like going to the mall with a kid, right? And they're just like, yeah, okay, you can have a couple of chocolates. And next thing, they got chocolates, they got hot cross buns and stuff like that. And you're just like, whoa, 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 this wasn't part of the deal, man.
And there's definitely scope creep if you take a kid to a mall and you don't give them boundaries. So you need to define that early. And that's a good point, because I suppose with children you got to say, hey, this is what we're going to do today. This is what you are allowed and anything else. And they'll try and push for more. Like a client will probably push for more. It makes sense.
And I found you'll put yourself in the client's shoes, because you got to go, like, what this person wants. You want to help that person at the end of the day. It's not just you want to help them. And, I mean, you're doing something hopefully you like, which is being creative, and you want to help them. So put yourself into their shoes to a certain degree, but also just be strong. Give them a little bit of scope for revision, but yeah, I mean, you gotta try and see their vision as well.
There's some good proposal. I'm a good believer, a firm believer in putting a good proposal together. And sometimes, look, we even put a proposal through just via email, but it's important to have something written down. I think that's an important point.
It has to be written down.
And even if it's email, is probably the most basic. But moving on from that, as you get hopefully get a bit bigger, you've got this software out there that you can use that puts together really nice proposals that don't take forever. Because the thing is with proposals, they take time. And if you're just starting out in the industry, doing it part-time or whatever, you sometimes don't have the time to put together a two-hour proposal. So, we use a platform, what is it called? Proposify, which we got some templates. Go look them up. They're actually, there's different sort of levels there. But we use them, and that digitally goes through to the client, gets them to sign off on the agreement. So it doesn't have to be that far. It can be as much as an email, but have to have something written down.
Have it in writing so you can go, but you need to have that paper trail to go back. The flaming goblins were not part of the show. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, who, they're like, oh, we need the goblins. It's like, well, you either want the goblins.
Who are the goblins?
Or the goblins.
First of all, who are the goblins?
I'm filming the Vikings over here, and you want me to go and film. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
It's like, man, that wasn't in the gig, and it's coming out. For me, it was for one gig, it was like, yeah, we just want you to film, but then all of a sudden, oh, we need you to get film of this brand and this brand here, and we need this band filmed.
Yeah,
and we want interviews with these people here. I was like, whoa. Interviews totally different. So yep. I've got, if you go to a gig and so I'm just flying the drone and a little bit of camera work, and all of a sudden they want interviews, that's a different kettle of fish, man, because I need microphones, I need different lenses, not that I probably wouldn't have them, but you know what I mean, it's sort of like, whoa, all of a sudden interviews can you want to be ready for that.
I think with you also, with our business, we're sort of a media services business, so we have other skills other than flying drones. I think once you add a new skill with regards to editing, we do our own in-house editing here, as well as ground photography, videography and drone services. So all of a sudden you've got a lot more skills to offer. And that therefore sometimes can blow out a scope, because they go, oh, geez, we can get Andy to pick up the camera and take some footage of that, as well as, get some drone footage, which is great.
Funny you say that.
However, sometimes you got to be two places at once. They want you to film the fireworks as well as put the drone up in the sky at the same time, and you can't do that.
So I remember I made a mistake early on, Lee, and you might remember this. I think I gave you a few extra grey hairs. I made the mistake, and hopefully you won't. I made the mistake of telling the client, oh yeah, mate, we could do a little bit more of that for you, without it having been written off on the scope. And then all of a sudden,
what are you doing there,
mate? These emails going, oh, we want motion graphics, we want cutaways, we want 3D modeling, and I was just like, what have I done? What have I done?
I think also when you go back to the same client, you get a bit more. There's that communication, and like for example, we have a client that we offer our services on a monthly basis, and we know exactly what they want. They know what we can provide as well, so it gets a little bit easier as they go. But first off, you've just got to ask a heap of questions. Especially if you're branching out, going not only drone photography but videography and editing services, because there's so many other things.
And look, to take into account. In regards to someone that might just be purely drone, some of the stuff might be that I've encountered is you go into to film a job, and you're like, yep, that's the only area I'm filming, and then they're like, oh, we need to film this area as well and that other area, and then you sort of like look at it, you go, oh, I can't fly there. Do you know what I mean? Or like that takes time to organize to fly in some areas more than what you've stipulated. That's I can't do that. I've got to go do a desktop study. I've got to go and maybe contact CASA and stuff like that.
I think that's probably one of the key points, is if you do get a request in, first things first is always hop on the Can I Fly Their app. This is obviously in Australia. Can I Fly Their app, which is CASA, have produced for all operators, and that will give you a real clear indication as whether you can or can't fly there.
Yeah, and I know some purists say that it might be wrong, but mate, if you have nothing to go off except hearsay, or you have that CASA app to go on, I know which one I'm going to choose. I'll be
honest. Yeah, exactly. I mean, they've made it, so why not use it? they're the regulator. So that's a good one, but that's obviously very important because, as I said, last thing you want to do is turn up to a location and find out that you can't fly there or your drone isn't able to fly there. It's been locked down for some reason because it's in a red zone. So all these little things are important. You pick them up along the way. So
So scope creep, I guess it's part of look. Yep, you're a camera person. You're a drone pilot, but also you're a business person. So you gotta protect your business.
Yep.
Okay. So you don't want to ever stretch yourself out too far. Do something, say yes to something that's going to put you in a position which is like not legal, put you in a position that's beyond your like physical reach. Like you can't be in two places at once. You're not a photon atom in the Hadron Collider. Do you know what I mean? Like, so you got to keep your business hat on as well as your camera operator, drone pilot hat as well, is what I guess a lot of the scope creep stuff is. Be strong, be confident. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen.
famous Head and Shoulders, wasn't it?
Vidal Sassoon. but yeah, mate, look, that's the go with scope creep. Dealt with it. It doesn't go away, by the way. It doesn't go away.
It's like that itch you got.
Yeah, it doesn't go away.
It doesn't go away.
It doesn't matter what cream you put on it or how many doctors you go and see. That won't go away.
Yeah, in summary, ask lots of questions. Yes. Get stuff written down on either on email, but questions to find that scope, get it written down.
Assumptions because something goes wrong. Under someone that assumes something to happen, fingers get pointed and you just got to protect yourself and say, well, look, man, I've got it right here saying Andy was filming Vikings. Sorry. Yeah, the goblins.
The goblins.
They're gone.
Can't film the goblins.
Can't do it.
They're only there once every 100 years, but don't worry about it.
Yeah, guys.
Yeah, cool. Good.
So, scope creep.
Hope people find that a bit informative. They've probably come across that in their own businesses out there. So, very, very important in the drone space.
Yeah, exactly right. All right, mate. Look, that's a bit of a quick, nice, short one there. I think we'll be back here in a couple of days and have a chat.
Yeah, we got some interesting subject matters to chat about, and it's all based on things that we've gone through as a business growing. We've been in the industry for about 4 years. That doesn't sound like a lot, but it is in the drone world. We're oldies. There's a lot of interesting subjects, but we'll get that information. We'll keep drip feeding that out in the next couple of weeks, months, years.
Yeah, and look, you know, we're trying to get this, I guess, as spread the word as much as we can. Whether we're trying to touch base with you guys on your usual social media, podcasts, and now we're going to throw this into videos and get it out there. So I think also is we'd love to hear from you. We want to know anyone else who out there whose drone business is just started or they've been doing it for a while. There's a lot of stuff out there.
I mean, at the end of the day, there is heaps to talk about, and we're just here to try and help people get started in the industry. It's not easy. We're not sort of shying around the fact that you can just buy a drone and all of a sudden you make a couple of grand a week. It's not gonna. I'd love that for it. I love the way that you laugh.
I'm just gonna take photos of houses.
Yeah, mate. It's work's gonna come in, bros. It's gonna be good. But it's so we're just here to help people. You know, whether it be through flying a drone, anything business related, training, all of our, I suppose, experience, we'll pass that on. We're there to help people just get started. We want people to succeed and basically do.
I would have liked this when I started. Do you know what I mean? I would have liked a couple of crew talk about drone laws and scope creep.
I probably would have run away. I probably would have run away.
And all that. I go, I'll just stick with what I'm doing.
No, it is good. Once you're in there and you're in amongst it, it's a creative industry. It's fun. It's new.
It is fun.
Get into it. And if you've got any questions, feel free to. We're on all social media channels.
Heaps of ways to contact us.
Any interesting talking subjects you want us to cover?
We'd love to.
Flick us a message.
All right, cool bananas. It might be round two on the coffee and the croissant. Lee, I reckon it's time to...
Going around again?
Yeah.
All right.
We'll just get some more coffee. We'll earn our keep. All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in, watching, giving us some time. We hope you got something out of this today. I always get something and ash a little bit out of it, especially for the other drone news that's going out there. And we're happy to share it. And we'll talk soon.
All right. Cheers, guys.
Cool.